Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, I mean, let's be honest, all right? I've forgotten to lock up the house before. Both before I went to bed, after I've left for work, but thankfully nothing bad happened. Forgotten to lock the car door on several occasions and found out each and every time after noticing that someone had rummaged through the car. Lost a pocket change, a pair of sunglasses. Not the end of the world. And it can always be worse. Like a guy that works at a zoo in Nigeria, he forgot to lock a lion's cage. And he did not realize that until he went to feed the lion. Now, the good news is he did successfully feed the lion because he became the lion's meal. In front of guest. Not a good scene. And inevitably, no matter what happened, someone has to go there and clean that mess up. Now, I don't envy anyone who has that job, but at least you understand what your job entails, if that is, in fact, your job. In Long Island, a local handyman, he got a call from a local resident asking for his professional cleaning help. The job was to help clean up a murder scene. Now, the main problem was that it was not the police who called him. It was the murderer himself. And as you would hope, our handyman turned down the offer and called the cops instead. And while I'm not a cop, I think I'd rather get that call than the cops in Idaho. They got a call from two paranoid guys. They called the police because they thought they were being followed in their vehicle by police. And they were worried about that because they had 20 pounds of weed illegally in their car. Well, it turns out they were not being followed by police, but after alerting police to the fact that they were worried about the police following them with all the weed in the car, yeah, the police pulled them over and arrested them. Ta-da! Now, these are just some of the stories we've seen, stories that left us with many questions. Questions we'd like to ask you in the form of our random question, and this is how it works. You call us, we'll ask you a question at complete random, and after you share your story, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question.
To be a part of the Big Show, the random question, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to the Men's Room at KISW.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Oh, but tell us away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,190. What a large and a charged program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. The exciting return of Your Guess Is As Good As Mine, our categories. Just out today from our friends at Wallet Hub, the best foodie cities in America. If you are a foodie, these are the best places you can go. Now, you guys consider yourselves, I mean, we all love food, but are we foodies in this room?
It depends how pretentious you are about what you think you know about what you're eating. To me, determines a foodie versus someone who knows what they're talking about. This is just my personal experience.
Okay.
These people are foodies. This guy's a foodie. This person's a foodie. And it's like, all right, you like what you like, but you never share anything groundbreaking, and you overpay for slop.
Right.
That, to me, defines a foodie.
So, no.
Okay.
We all like food. We all like to cook food, but I don't. Yeah, I wouldn't label anybody.
Also, foodies tend to go to the restaurants before anybody else. Mm-hmm. If something's opening that's supposedly going to be acclaimed, they will get there within the first 2 weeks and eat.
Is it super small portions that are overpriced? And if they're happy about it, you're a foodie.
Yeah. Then they'll blog about it, or they'll, you know, do their social media stuff about it. But ultimately, typically, doesn't it take a restaurant at least a month just to kind of just settle in and get their feet wet a little bit?
At least.
So,
at least.
To me, it's like, you know, like, give them a chance for a little bit and then go there once things settle down.
The service wasn't good. Well, they're fresh. They're new.
Right. Yeah.
They're figuring out the operation, dumbass.
I feel like a foodie menu is one sheet.
One sheet was printed that day.
Which is not the worst thing in the world because, you know, you do a few things, but you do it well, hopefully. Mm-hmm. All those dishes are done well. You don't have too much on the menu, but trust me, I know it sounds somewhat ridiculous, but there is something rather gratifying to me about going to, like, I don't know, hell, Cheesecake Factory, and there's 17 pages of stuff I got to go through because there's so much
food. All of them are good.
Yeah, I mean, I like the minimalist aspect. I also like, oh, man, I can get anything I want in this joint.
I would say I think that's the other difference, too, between people that just like food and calling yourself a foodie.
Yes.
Is that we're honest, and, like, sometimes, right, like...
You want your Southwest egg rolls, bro.
Yeah.
Because you like the taste, and you can explain why you like the taste.
28 metrics. Data set ranges from the cost of groceries, the affordability and accessibility of high-quality restaurants, number of food festivals per capita, which we seem to do pretty well here in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, you would never know it, but there's a seafood festival going on in Ballard every year. There's all kinds of different food festivals out
there. Salmon Fest is pretty good.
Greek festival over the weekend, all kinds of great Greek food and everything else. So, yeah, we have a lot of... I guess barbecue is one we miss.
There was a big barbecue one down in Enumclaw this weekend.
There was. Okay. So those are all the metrics on the 10 best foodie cities in the United States of America. Next up, I wonder why we picked this one. We have the top 10 Seahawks of all time. Offense, defense, special teams. But what players they say stand out as the best in franchise history? They had a bunch of writers who cover the Seahawks give their recommendations. And they narrowed it down to the 10 best players to ever wear the Seahawk uniform. You got a wide receiver in there. You got a cornerback.
A blitz.
A defensive end. A couple of safeties. A running back. A linebacker. A defensive tackle. An offensive tackle. One quarterback. Also makes the list as far as the top 10 Seahawks of all time. So if you pick that category.
Nostalgia or statistics?
I believe a little
bit
of both.
As far as the quarterback.
There's only one that has the Super Bowl.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So is it your stats or is it your nostalgia? Because it's two very different things in that case.
Yep. That's fact. So those are your categories coming up with your guess. It's as good as mine. The top 10 Seattle Seahawks of all times and the best cities for foodies. I will also give you some new locations on the Men's Room IPA. Thank you for continuing to email us. Let us know where you're finding the beer. I know a lot of people have found it at different locations from the stadiums to Key Arena.
Somewhere on the... where did BD go this weekend?
He went to Whidbey.
Okay, Whidbey. Yes. Like, I found your beer at the little shop that they have there. He did not say he bought any, but he did point out that he saw it there.
Orcas Island.
All right. That is an untapped area, man.
Did you guys just hear him shout from down the hall?
What was he shouting?
I think he was shouting Orcas.
Yeah, and Orcas, right. It's a lot farther, completely different. Like, finding it there, I'd be fired up.
Yeah, that's what he said.
There's a ton of stuff in Whidbey Island. And it's, like, much closer. You got to go to Whidbey Island just to get out to Orcas.
But do us a favor.
Right.
If you happen to see the beer on tap or in your favorite watering hole, convenience store, grocery store, send us a picture of where you see the bright yellow can, and we will hopefully continue to update that list to KISW.com. We heard last week the beer is now on over like 16.
13 was last 13. I heard, but it keeps growing is the thing. So it was 13 at that point last week, but then... We happen to know that coming up sooner or later, a bunch more locations are going to start. It's unbelievable.
No, but
and it's funny, though, because I love the fact that people all over the state, they found it here and there, but we get the listeners from out of state, like, nothing. We have our guys in New York, upstate New York.
Oh, yeah.
And they have the guy that, I think, does he drive out here? And I don't know, either way, they buy our beer when they come here. They're only here for a couple of days, load it up in their trunk, and then drive 3,000 miles back to upstate New York to drink a 12-pack.
And thank you because it helps our three local Fisher houses. So just know that whenever you buy the San Juan salsa, the Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa from San Juan Salsa Company, or you pick up a beer broad from Uli's Famous Sausage, a portion of that proceeds go to our friends locally at the three Fisher House locations. Also with the Men's Room beer broad, that's got the Men's Room IPA from Black Raven on the inside of the sausage.
And Miles finally had it, and he can attest it is delicious.
And I've got three more pounds in my freezer, and I'm just waiting for that moment to.
What is the moment. What needs that? There's Monday Night Football tonight. Each Sunday, of course, is more Thursday Night Football.
Weekends work better for me on those types.
I thought you might have fired some up yesterday. You had your Ravens in primetime.
I did, and that's why I made a pound of steamed shrimp with Old Bay on it, because it was the Ravens.
Did you eat during the game?
At the beginning of it.
Yeah. Okay, my wife was making dinner, and before I could even say anything, she's like, I will make it for halftime. Because me and my son, we're going to watch this Ravens game. And we're down in the basement. She made us go to the basement because we're very loud. So we went down to the basement to watch the game. As she said, I can hear you clear as day, but sure enough, at halftime, dinner was ready. We both finished eating before the game came on. I can't eat and watch the Ravens at the same time.
Also, just a little programming note for you. We, as of yesterday, are 2 weeks away from the KISW first ever Halloween Hullabaloo, starring Godsmack and Hailstorm. That is Sunday night, Showwear Center on October 13th down in Kent. We do understand the tickets, if there are some left.
If there are.
There are a few. And when we announced this show, I was like, This is in October. Like,
when did we first, March, April, or something?
And the summer's just gone. It flew by. Like, for whatever reason, this year just flew by. But we're already here, man. It is the first big Halloween party of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage you to come in costume. Have a good time with us. That is a great price on a ticket for a fantastic night of bands. So there's four bands all together. Warning and Flat Black. Also playing along with Hailstorm and Godsmack. So if you are thinking about going to that show, do yourself a favor. Head to KISW.com right now. And get yourself a ticket. How many of us there? And join us there. And today is the day we do our random question 206-803-ROCK.
We're random, checking our phones. Random, I apologize. Random, just hit us with the random. Hit us with the random, Miles.
A lot of phone issues today.
It's Monday. It is Monday. I don't know if it resets over the weekend. I don't know anything that happens here over the weekend, but.
Well, plus Verizon was just kind of down today.
Yeah, so. Were they down? Because the thing is, my cell phone, I'm on Verizon. I have not had anything wrong with my phone.
Oh, you didn't?
I did not.
Mine was like on SOS for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I read something this morning, and it said, if you're reading this headline, you're not a Verizon customer. And I thought, because I am. Just not through cable. But, my phone was okay. Maybe.
I think it's fine now. There was definitely an outage earlier.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, I knew nothing about that.
You know, I don't
maybe
mind.
Maybe I'm the outage, man.
I don't mind that. You know, I just...
It does not bug me.
It's not my fault. Network was down. I was unattainable.
Sorry.
3 or 4 hours. Was it that important? Let me ask you this. What would you do if I was dead?
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that. If you have a question or any advice, just like, think if I'm gone, I'll do what you would do then. How's that?
I've said that to my wife.
To my kids.
What would you do if you couldn't reach me? Like, just do that.
Do that, you know.
Because you know my response is, I don't know.
Yeah, what were you going to do? I'll do that then. Yes. All right, let's go. Let's see.
Trying to think. What do I do if Miles is dead?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after we're done dancing.
Throw a huge party.
Raid his house.
Right. Take all my food out of my freezer. Have a big barbecue.
What's in your freezer? What's in your freezer that I don't want? Well, I know you
three
got
three pounds of bedroom sausage.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
But you do like a lot of salmon. I don't like salmon.
I do scallops. I do shrimp.
I'll take that.
I do seafood. I probably have like 6 pieces of fish in there right now.
What kind of fish are we talking?
Halibut, sole, which is basically black cod.
Don't you like how that works?
Regular
sole
cod.
Sole is black cod. I'm just saying.
I never thought about it.
I like salmon. Yeah, sole, brother.
Yeah. Black cod. You know, sole.
But it's S-O-L. You know,
I think after the funeral and stuff, frankly, I would try to take your trip to Africa.
You could do that. Because I can't. Yeah. I can't cancel it, I don't think.
Yeah. Transfer it over.
Sure.
Hey, man, he died. Can I transfer the stuff over? Go on safari with your daughter.
You got to dress like a grain of sand. But other than that, you know, you need some sand.
That's a good call. Taking your trip to Africa, sir.
Yeah.
I'll take the black cod. You take a trip to Africa.
Mm-hmm. I got some curtains, you know, whatever you need. All right, let's see here.
Your vinyl collection.
You probably have most of it.
I might, but I'm still snatching it up.
You bought your car used, right? Is it paid off?
Oh, yeah.
I'd take the car.
Yeah, man.
All right, can you drive the vinyl to
my
place?
How about that in
2006? Yeah, I'll drive the vinyl over, and Mike, you get his golf club.
I bought that car in 2016 for $32,000, man. It was like, you know, just used car, trucks along, no problem. All right, let's go with this random question. What did you guys forget to do? And I'll start. My mother's birthday was on September the 6th of this month, and I believe the date was the 16th. when it dawned on me that I had forgotten her birthday.
It was at least two business weeks.
And needed to call her. That is correct, because I was thinking about, oh, no, I know my dad's birthday is in the middle of September. So I went and I looked, and when I looked at my phone, I saw another dot on September 6th, which means, like, Amazon package arrived.
Right.
Yom Kippur, whatever the holiday is, whatever.
Yom Kippur.
All they give every holiday, you name it around the world, my iPhone tells me every single one. Half the time, I'm like, what is this day? I have no clue. But the dot was there, mom's birthday. And I went, ah, God. So I did call my mom.
But how do you broach that? Because it's one thing, like, I've called my mother the day after, and you say, Mom, I forgot. And they go, dude, we get it. It's now the next day. You are 2 weeks later.
That's right.
I mean, this is like, were you in a coma?
I said, what did you do? And she said, I went up and saw your sister and your brother in Pittsburgh. And we went to your niece's volleyball game. We had two lovely dinners. We went out and we also cooked in for one meal. And we had a wonderful weekend. And then I drove home and I relaxed. And good thing your grandma was okay while I was gone for the 2 days. And I said, that sounds like a lovely weekend. I'm sorry I forgot the whole thing. But I did.
I told you I forgot my brother's once. I shouldn't really say forgot. I'd gone out with some friends.
It's almost worse.
Yeah, this was years ago, right? And I ran with, say, a fancier fast crowd.
Okay.
So, yeah, like a limo. There used to be nightclubs that we went to in Seattle. We partied all night, have like an after hour. So that Saturday is my brother's birthday. We sleep in real late, wake up hungover, and it's like, let's just get food, start ripping beers, and watch college football. And we're having a blast. And then Sunday I get up and I'm like, oh my God, I never texted my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that was...
just send a text.
That was a quick phone call the next day, you know, me trying to apologize. And he's just like, it's fine. I get it. We'll talk next week.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's fine.
That's fine. Pretty much what it was.
Yeah, so it's not fine.
Like, a few days later, it was okay, but I don't blame him. He was pissed. He had a right to be.
I always forget to pack one thing. It's kind of my specialty move.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get someplace. I'm there for 2 or 3 days. And I'll think to myself, I don't have socks.
Right.
Or there's no toothbrush. I must have put that back in the drawer. I'm no deodorant. I've done that one before where I, like, you know, I'm gone for 3 or 4 days, have no deodorant, or forget my toothbrush. I forget just something that is kind of essential to day-to-day life.
Sure. But at least it's cheap. The thing I think I forget most often, and it's not the end of the world, it just annoys me. I try to do a good job and make myself lunch before I come into work. And the last thing I do before I walk out of the house is do that, right? Creature of habit, do the same thing, same order every day. And man, like, I'm on I-5, I'm halfway here, and it's like,
damn it!
God! Ah! And it's just the fact, it's sitting in a bag that's all packaged up. Oh, yeah.
It's probably not going to be good tomorrow either.
Well, no, the bigger issue is my son and I have very similar tastes. So the way my son perceives it is, oh, well, you know, I'm home from school, and Dad left this here. Clearly, must be for him. So I'll get home and be like, Dad, that sandwich was great. I'm like, uh-huh. And the orange soda, good looking out. I'm like, that wasn't good for you.
Out. Good looking at
it. That was not for good you, man.
Raise your ass, what did you forget to do?
I don't blame him,
but it's annoying.
Right, I live alone, but if I got home and there was magically just a homemade cold cut and orange soda, I'm eating it.
What's the thing? So when the kids, this sounds really bad, but if you're a parent, you know this to be true. The kids are already at school, so now when you're making food for you, you take a little extra time of care.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't have to negotiate what you don't want to eat and all this crap. So, like, I'm hooking myself up, man. And then dude gets home and it's like, dude, that sandwich was great.
Reason why I asked you, what did you forget to do? This is a completely challenging story. I'm going to try to get through it, though. A zookeeper has been mauled to death by a lion in southwestern Nigeria after he failed to secure the locks on the enclosure when he went to feed it. According to police, 35-year-old man worked at the Presidential Library Wildlife Park, owned by former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo in Abeokuta.
Dude, if you're going to be the king of Sierra Leone, you've really got to nail these
things. Ogun State. Local police spokesperson Omolola Odutola said in a statement that the lion inflicted serious fatal injuries to the man's neck. He said the lion was then shot to release its grip on the handler. According to the statement from the Olusegun Obasanjo Presidential Library, the zookeeper had taken some guests to see the lion feeding routine after hours on Saturday evening. He apparently, feeling comfortable with the animal, left the safety protection gate open and proceeded to feed the animal. He was mauled by the animal and died on the spot. To prevent further mutilation of the body, the animal was put down by the personnel of the park. The victim has been named as
Babajai Daliu, described by police as a trained lion handler.
Is he?
It comes less than 1 year after another zookeeper was attacked and killed by a lion at the Obafemi Awolowo University, also in southwestern Nigeria.
Like butter. Like butter.
Thank you.
And he did this in front of guests. Yeah. I mean, these are buddies of his. Hey, man, we'll see how we do this. And like, oh, that's how lions
eat. He didn't say you're going to feed him you.
More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Random question, 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Emmett. Random, welcome random, to the Men's random, Room. Random. Hello, Emmett.
It doesn't sound like anybody's there.
Hola.
Hang on.
Emmett.
Hola.
Oh, there
you
okay.
He must have been messed up.
Yeah.
Emmett, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one. How did you try to raise some extra cash? How did you try to make some extra money?
How did I try to raise some extra cash?
Make some on the side.
You ever deliver papers? My brother did that. You did that too, didn't you?
Yeah, I've done that a little bit. I've done some landscaping. I've done some yard work. I'm a mechanic. I can weld. I've done a whole bunch of different stuff, you know, for friends or for, you know, somebody that just needs something. I have a few things that I do every once in a while if I ever need a little bit of extra cash.
I definitely enjoy help people landscape.
I don't mind helping
there's just a sense of accomplishment when you're done.
I think there's a difference, though. I don't mind helping people landscape because I'm not a professional landscaper, right? But you are a mechanic. So at what point do you charge me as your friend, right? Because I would imagine if you're a mechanic or if you're an electrician or a plumber, your buddies call you all the time, hey, man, I got this little thing going on. But there has to be something like, look, I'll do this for you, but I want some money.
For me, it entirely depends. Generally, if it's a project that, like, I would charge somebody, I will just, you know, I will just say to F off, depending upon what it is. If it's something simple, like, you know, like, one of the last things I did, my buddy needed a turbo on his truck, and it just so happened I had a turbo for that specific truck laying around, and I was like, I don't really have anything going on today, so I just swapped it out for him.
Nice. All right, see, typically I would say, like, look, man, I'll pay for the parts, and then I'll pay you for your time.
Right.
However you want me to pay for it, in cash, in beer, in whatever you need.
Pizza, sure.
Weed, you know. I mean, I'll find a way to pay you back. Just you tell me how you want it.
And I'm curious to know, when you delivered papers, were you on a bike, on foot, or in a vehicle?
When I did what? Sorry.
KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Random question, 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Emmett. Welcome to the Men's Room. Hello, Emmett.
It doesn't sound like anybody's there.
Hold on.
Hang on.
Emmett. Hola.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
He must have messed up.
Yeah.
Emmett, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one. How did you try to raise some extra cash? How did you try to make some extra money?
How did I try to raise some extra cash?
Make some on the side.
You ever deliver papers? My brother did that. You did that too, didn't you?
Yeah, I've done that a little bit. I've done some landscaping. I've done some yard work. I'm a mechanic. I can weld. I've done a whole bunch of different stuff, you know, for friends or for, you know, somebody that just needs something. I have a few things that I do every once in a while if I ever need a little bit of extra cash.
I definitely enjoy help people landscape.
I don't mind helping
there's
landscape.
Just a sense of accomplishment when you're done.
I think there's a difference, though. I don't mind helping people landscape because I'm not a professional landscaper, right? But you are a mechanic, so at what point do you charge me as your friend, right? Because I would imagine if you're a mechanic or if you're an electrician or a plumber, your buddies call you all the time, hey, man, I got this little thing going on. But there has to be something like, look, I'll do this for you, but I want some money.
For me, it entirely depends. Generally, if it's a project that, like, I would charge somebody, I will just, you know, I will just say to F off, depending upon what it is. if it's something simple, like, you know, like one of the last things I did, my buddy needed a turbo on his truck, and it just so happened I had a turbo for that specific truck laying around, and I was like, I don't really have anything else going on today, so I just swapped it out for him.
Nice. All right. See, typically I would say, like, look, man, I'll pay for the parts, and then I'll pay you for your time.
Right.
However you want me to pay for it, in cash, in beer, in whatever you need.
Pizza, sure.
Weed, you know. I mean, I'll find a way to pay you back. Just you tell me how you want it.
And I'm curious to know, when you delivered papers, were you on a bike, on foot, or in a vehicle?
When I did what? Sorry?
Delivered papers.
I didn't say I delivered papers.
Oh, I thought
Miles
you said you
asked him if he did.
All right.
I did one summer with my brother.
Were you guys vehicle?
He would kind of, yeah, you kind of, there's so many houses that, like, he had a car, but basically he would just kind of drive the car and I would just walk along and chuck him.
Yeah, my brother did. He walked. I never delivered papers personally, but he had the, it's called the old woman shopping cart, you know, the one you fold up in your own garage, load him up with papers, he'd walk up and down the street, get attacked by dogs, and deliver papers.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, one of the funner ones I had, it doesn't seem like it, but when I was first starting out in radio, I was 15, 16 years old, and the radio station I worked at, they had a crew that would go out and do local dances.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was like a high school dance, if it was a wedding, any kind of party, they were available as a DJ unit. And I know you worked for Chip for a while.
Yeah, we did
bar mitzvahs,
weddings, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs. We did a couple graduations.
But it was, you know, for the most part, there were some events that were a little bit stuffy, so to
sure,
speak.
Sure.
I mean, no offense to Mike, he stepped out of the room, but a couple auctions were boring. So. But as far as the weddings go and the parties and, like, the high school dances and all that, man, I mean, when I was 15 years old, I was not in high school yet. Our high school started when we were sophomores.
Okay.
So we had a 3-year high school instead of a 4-year high school. So to go to a high school dance.
Oh, yeah.
With all of these girls.
You're a DJ.
If you're still high school age, that's awesome.
Yes. To go to a wedding where a bottle of something might end up in a case that we need to bring back to the radio station or whatever the deal. You always got fed.
Mm-hmm.
Just like endless sodas. You know, the whole night people are coming up to you asking you if you could help put on a request or whatever the deal is. And I thought that was great. Out till 2 o'clock in the morning. Parents didn't care because I was working.
Because you're working.
Yeah. So it was a good way to make some side cash. And typically, the guys I was working for, they would just pay me out of their pocket in cash.
Oh, yeah. They got
just
it.
To help load in,
that's
load out.
That's what I did with
them. And I just took the money.
I'll tell you what, the bar mitzvahs were always, to me, one way or the other. It was either, like, super strict, and, like, the mom and dad had the songs they wanted, the exact time, like, do not talk.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Or it was the other side where it was like super loose. It's saying, I mean, I was over 21 and people were like, you want a beer? Like, is that all right? They're like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Like, we're just having a giant party. But there was never like in between.
Right.
It was either super strict or super loose.
Raise me ask, how did you raise some extra cash? A couple in Arkansas was arrested after they allegedly attempted to sell their 2-month-old baby for a 6-pack of beer.
Oh, Jesus.
And a $1,000 cashier's check. Darian Urban.
Who do you approach for that? Even if you're thinking, all right, man, let's sell the kid for get a 6-pack and $1,000. Like, who looks like they might take that deal?
Well, Darian Urban, who's 21, and Shalene Ellers, who's 20, the baby's parents, they're arrested on the 21st of this month after the manager of a campground in Benton County contacted the local sheriff's department, and that's in Arkansas, for an incident involving the couple. Person said the couple had written a letter granting custody of their baby to Cody Martin in exchange for money. The letter included a disclaimer saying, there will be no change in y'all's two minds and to never contact us again.
Sounds official.
That is a, that's a contract. Responding troopers found the baby needed medical attention and called emergency medical services, who took the infant to a local hospital for evaluation. Child, by the way, thank God, is now in the care of the Arkansas Department of Human Services. Multiple witnesses corroborated the attempted adoption. Deputy also reportedly obtained a cell phone video of Urban and Ellers signing the contract with a man trying to purchase the baby. So they filmed it.
Oh my! So someone, was this person setting them up, or he was actually going to buy a baby for $1,000 on a 6-pack?
It's a little weird. Witnesses reported that a resident of the campground identified in the affidavit as Ricky Crawford. I know what you're thinking, a Ricky in Arkansas. Yes, it happened. Had earlier in the day visited Urban and Ellers and offered to take the baby for the night, just in exchange for several cans of beer. So he was just going to take the baby for the night and take care of the kid, all right? But they came back with a contract and says, hey, look, you want the baby, you give us $1,000 and a six-pack of beer, and we'll take the baby. You can have the baby.
So it sounds like maybe Ricky here was trying to be nice. Just like, I'll give you a night off.
And yeah, they're
sure.
Like,
take our baby.
Ricky, who apparently by the report of the trooper, heavily intoxicated, confirmed that he had taken the baby from the couple and brought the infant to a friend. Another witness told authorities they smelled a strong ammonia and fecal odor coming from the baby. The baby had a soiled diaper, and the diaper rash was so severe, they needed to document that and take the baby in. According to the affidavit, Martin told detectives that he spoke to Ellers about the reason for the potential adoption, and she said, it just not working having three dogs and a baby. Which means the dogs are more important.
Yeah.
Court documents say that Martin told detectives he drafted the agreement for Urban and Ellers to sign, but clarified that no money was exchanged at that time. He said he would arrange for a cashier's check for $1,000, but the couple never received that payment either way. They have already been released on $5,000 bond. Ellers remains in custody, the mom, on $30,000 bail, but the father of the group is out.
Random, someone's got to watch the dogs, Miles. Random,
that's crazy.
Random, hello, Breck. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Breck, welcome to the program. Random question. Since we're talking about kids, let's do this. This question right here. What did you discover or find when you were a kid? What did you discover or find when you were a kid?
I was always messing around in places I shouldn't. Let me think about that one for a minute. Oh, yeah, I found when I was a kid.
Sometimes you don't even realize what you found as a kid. You know, because I remember finding roach clips and little incense cones.
Mm-hmm.
My brother just thought they were weird that they were packaged together. Because I'd seen my father use the clips, you know, on electric stuff. We couldn't figure it out. And then just the day happens where you get older and you say, oh, okay, I see where you kept your weed.
Right. I discovered a crawl space underneath our porch. And so anything that I had that I wanted to make sure that was just in my mind safekeeping, mm-hmm. I put there. I put in a shoebox. I used that area sometimes as like a cool little fort.
There you go.
You know, where I could take
what
my flashlight.
What kinds of important things did you have at that age that you needed to protect from other people?
Just things that I thought were valuable.
Baseball cards, army men.
Right. I learned very quickly not to put any kind of candy in there because the ants would get to it or an animal would go in there and drag it out. But anything I just did not want my parents to know I had or anything I just wanted for myself that I thought was of importance at the time. So I had a lot of my action figures down there. I would bring like my, I don't know, I kept my sleeping bag in there just because I thought it'd be cool to have my own little fort. But it was just a small little door. And I never really realized what was behind it until I worked the latch when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And so when I worked the latch and got in there, it was like stuff that the old homeowner had had.
Yeah.
No one had ever crawled in there. I mean, even, you know, we'd been in there for a couple of years, but no one had been in there. It was all just old stuff. I kind of cleared the place out, made room for myself, and I kind of thought I had this cool little fort.
I mean, at that age, you did.
You know. Let's see. Reason we asked, what did you discover or find as a kid? This is a weird one. Leave it to curious preschoolers to spy something odd in the supermarket that escapes everyone else's notice. UPI reports that Danielle Morales was shopping with her two boys, 3-year-old Zachary and 4-year-old Parker, at Market 32 in Clifton Park, New York.
Oh.
When what do kids do? They want to stop by and check out the lobster tank, which is a favorite from just about anybody. But
I'll do it now.
If you're a youngster, you know, and Parker goes, hey, Mom, that one is blue. Wow. And I thought the mom said, wow, that's kind of weird. So Morales said she took a quick pic, then contacted the aquarium on her phone using Facebook. Now, after confirming the lobster was indeed a special specimen, Morales strolled back to the counter and told the guys, hey, I just want to let you know, the aquarium's going to call you. Don't sell that one. You do not want to sell that one. Lobsters typically appear blue or other colors like orange or white due to genetic anomalies. In the lobster's case, however, experts believe the darker blue color may be caused by its diet. Either way, the aquarium took custody of the lobster, placed it in quarantine, as is customary before joining other aquarium residents. It will be placed in a communal tank sometimes next month. As for its name, Morales' boy dubbed the hard-shelled creature Bluey, after the cartoon character.
Okay, all right.
But when they were telling the lobster was male, they changed the name to Bandit. That is the name of Bluey's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Is Bluey female?
So it was a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old that like said, hey, mom, look, that lobster's blue. She takes a picture, sends it to the aquarium. The aquarium is there that afternoon.
Damn.
To take that lobster out of the tank because it's a special specimen and saved its life.
Do you charge the aquarium for the lobster?
Yes.
I mean, I would.
I would, yeah.
Do you charge more or do you charge whatever the rate? Well, because the aquarium could say, look, man, it says $7.99 a pound. Like, what is this crap you're trying to say? We're going to pay the price that
was
you
advertised. Was it a big supermarket or like a mom and pop shop?
It says Market 32 in Clifton Park. I don't know. We just read a story about a month ago about, I don't know if it was an employee of a Red Lobster. Same thing. Yeah. They had like, it was like in the middle of Iowa or some crap like that. And they're like, hey, man, that one's blue. And
right, I remember
that. Next thing you know, that thing is gone. Random, how do you miss that random, Red Lobster?
The one blue lobster?
Random, yes.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, I coached a baseball all-star team once at Clifton Park, New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You see any blue lobsters?
Nah, did not.
You're not living. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, folks. First off, I'd like to say thank you for helping me keep my sanity in this afternoon traffic for the several years. I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate what you do.
Oh, well, thank you, man.
We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, we've been contracted by WashDOT to prevent people from losing their mind. Because they said, look, we're not going to do it, so maybe you guys can help us out.
Since you are out
Robert,
there
Robert, can I call you when I'm stuck in traffic? I could use a little relief.
Yeah. All right, since you brought up traffic, I'll give you a different one. Do you think, honestly, that you are a good driver? Because some people who know they're good drivers, other people think they're good drivers and not. Some people know they're just not very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So where would you put yourself in the category?
So I tell my wife this. I am a great driver, defensive, always looking, knowing. I've sat in traffic so long, I've almost witnessed everything. So I put myself in a very good driving category.
Who are you scared to be in the car with that you know? Friends, family?
If they're driving.
Yes, correct.
So right now, I'm a little scared with my wife's daughter. I'm teaching her how to drive, and she comes in hot.
meaning, what do you mean? She drives a little too fast?
Well, meaning that the brakes should be applied a little quicker.
All right.
We're almost going to rear-end it.
Okay. And does she have her permit?
Yeah. Yep. She's 20 years old, so she doesn't like the testing part of it, so I'm trying to get her used to everything so it'll be a breeze.
Okay, so did she just wait a little bit longer because she was hesitant to learn how to drive? It wasn't important to her, or was she just scared of the whole process?
Yeah, no, she's got a little anxiety, but she just really didn't need it, and I don't think she understands what the freedom you get when you get a car, you know?
Sure.
I will tell you, man, I was one of those kids. I didn't get my license until I was 18. And I wasn't scared of driving. I just didn't care to.
Right? But also, like, where we lived, it wasn't necessary to get anywhere. If you want to get somewhere, it was easy. You know, you could walk there, subway there, you name it.
Hey, Robert, you'll love this one. My daughter, or my niece, she is 15, but she can get her permit. And she'll be 16 here pretty soon. So she has been adamant. My brother wants her to get her license. First of all, because she does all these different volleyball tournaments, all these different games, practices. It's just, it would take a little bit of load off him and his wife as far as just being on the road all the time. And they're encouraging her to learn how to drive. She wants absolutely nothing to do about getting behind the wheel. But guess what happened last weekend? Last weekend, she was invited to go to homecoming with a boy that she always liked, but she didn't know that he liked her.
He liked her, yeah.
Now, she is foot on the gas, man. I want to drive. Yeah. Give me a car. I need some freedom. I mean, well, this is in a week. In a week.
Yeah.
One incident.
Did you tell your brother that means she's getting laid?
Yeah. I tested almost on my birthday. I wanted out.
Oh, me too. I did the same exact thing. As soon as I could get it, man, because just based on where we lived, it was...
Sure.
If you wanted to go someplace and have fun, you had to drive.
I mean, I think most people are that way.
Mm-hmm.
But Thurl's right, like, between using the metro, and then I just had so many friends that, like, already drove and stuff. Like, I don't know. It just wasn't a huge thing for me to go get a license. Even to this day, right? Like, I drive, but if I don't have to, I won't.
Right. Right. Well, the thing with us was we had friends that had cars. And we had friends whose parents paid for gas, did the insurance thing, any kind of mechanical issue. Or there were our group of kids and friends that, man, that required us to get a part-time job.
Yeah.
Immediately. Absolutely. In high school. If we wanted that car just for gas money, and that was the deal. hey, look, man, if you and your buddy are going to go downtown, I need a dollar. I need 50 cents.
Oh, you definitely had to pay to get in.
Yeah, I've gone to the pump before and put in $1.50 in gas. Mm-hmm. Just based on the fact that that's what we have, but that would get us downtown, get us home.
But it was driving, it was parties. Like, look, we can make this happen. But everyone that says, yes, I want to ride with you, gas money, bro. Right. And it didn't matter if you had 75 cents, fine. Just got to sit in the back seat. You got a full, crisp $5 bill. You're riding shotgun.
Sure. And you learned how to change your oil. You learned how to change filters, brakes, all those things. I definitely remember the fact that I had to change my oil all the time, but it didn't really matter because my car burned so much oil. I just kept it in the back seat of my car and continued to pour it in because it would just burn off on its own. Anyway.
I think that is absolutely part of the process.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I will say, also, back in the day, like we're talking, like nobody had cell phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest issue I ever had not having a license as like a junior or till I was 18 was that sometimes you'd go to a party and maybe spend the night, but the dude that took you has gone morning.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, Christ, now I got to figure out a way to get home.
A lot of times, just a long walk.
The reason we asked, do you think you're a good driver? A new survey asked people from 50 states to assess their own driving habits. They didn't just ask an overall grade. They asked people if they were guilty of 19 different bad driving habits.
What does everybody in here think?
As far as being a good driver?
I'm all right.
I'm good.
I mean, I don't think anybody else would consider me to be a good driver. I'm an efficient driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it.
I use my signals. I do all those things that are supposed to be good, but I get there faster than my friends.
Miles, I have rode in the car with you. You're a good driver. Ted, you've rode in the car. I've rode in the car with you. You're a good driver. Am I a good driver?
Yeah.
All right.
Miles is the only one that kind of scares me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen you get in an accident or nothing. It is fast and aggressive.
Yes, it is. A new survey asked the 50 state people to assess their own driving habits. These are things like speeding, under 10 miles per hour, over or extreme speeding, eating and driving, texting and driving, not using your turn signals, road rage, tailgating, running red lights, hell, you live in the
same area.
I'm
good at all those things.
You've seen all this crap.
I excel at all of those.
89% of drivers in Hawaii consider themselves to be good drivers. That sounds pretty good. It's actually the lowest among all states.
89%. Oh, some bubbles must be burst.
Yeah. Hawaii has the self-professed worst driving habits at 89%. Oregon is the second worst state, followed by New Mexico, Wyoming, Alaska, North Dakota, Connecticut, Vermont.
Where people don't live.
Kansas and West Virginia.
You're going to speed. You can do what you want. You're not going to hit anything.
Most all states admitted to the top three bad behaviors. Speeding, eating while driving, and speeding through a yellow light. Oklahoma was the only state where admitted that texting and driving made the top three worst habits. Drivers in Tennessee say they are the least worst drivers. Chevy drivers are the most likely to admit bad driving habits, followed by GMC, Buick, Chrysler, and Dodge drivers.
All right.
There you go. More of the Random Question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith from the Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.